Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We are continuing our conversation about Jimmy Carter's presidency. His seeming inaction around the 1979 Iran hostage crisis dogged him into his re-election bid. The public didn't know Carter was overseeing a secret and risky rescue mission. It was a long shot from the start. The intelligence about the landing spot wasn't great. Helicopters were damaged en route. There was a surprise appearance of civilians at the location, and a sudden sandstorm called a Habub blinded the Delta Force team. The mission failed. It ended in tragedy with 8 American soldiers killed in a helicopter accident at the landing site named Desert One. A Barbara Koppel documentary called Desert One explains what happened and shows how the Delta Force members were heroes who never got their due. One of them was Marine Colonel Ed Seifert, a veteran pilot who had flown long-range search and rescue missions in Vietnam. He joined us on the show last fall to discuss the documentary. Here's a bit of our conversation explaining what it was like to be at that mission back in April of 1980.
The plan had been changed and modified from the original Desert One was an airfield that was going to be taken by the Rangers, but that proved, from an intelligence perspective, extremely high risk as well as many others. The highway was surveyed by the CIA. It was determined that that highway was very rarely used by anybody going back and forth between Yazd and Tabriz. The CIA had actually flown in and surveyed some of the ground where we were going to land. The survey was kind of a mistake. Very accurate for what they did and very inaccurate for what part of the landing area that we were going into. And it was a very clear little road. I wouldn't call it a highway by any means, through that part of the desert in Iran. And unfortunately, that night, traffic somehow increased. And there was a hijacked fuel truck that was taken south of the landing zone. And then, of course, the bus, which you've heard plenty about already. So, and we all thought it was going to be a very nice place to land and found it to be on the south side of the road very good and firm, and on the north side of the road, very sandy, where you would sink in and have difficulty maneuvering the aircraft around.
Colonel, as one thing after another kept happening, helicopters, two of them they weren't operational. You mentioned the bus, the fuel truck. This enormous dust cloud appears. What were you thinking as all of these things just kept mounting?
The sequence of events was... I don't think there's ever an operation, at least none that I've been involved in, and since I was in the service, there's always Murphy's Law out there, and I think Murphy's really name is probably something a little less pleasant, but the idea that sequence of events was really, it would have been naive for me to think that everything would be copacetic and move along according to plan. And I did not think that way. The requirements that we set forth were baseline requirements relative to the number of aircraft that were needed, even though in the physical sense there were not enough aircraft, to what we expected the attrition rate that we could deal with as we proceeded along the way. That happened to happen. We lost aircraft number 6 after about 2 hours in the Habub, which I really never knew anything about until we had received message traffic after we returned in May, the 22nd of May, what this particular phenomenon was. When I saw it, I mentioned to my co-pilot that, and I think my direct quote was, this is not on the menu. It was something we didn't expect. The forecast we had gotten from the Air Force Weather Service was for a night that would have been moonlit. In fact, initially it was. And when we saw this phenomenon, it was like flying into a fog bank on either the east or west coast of the United States. Understand this part of it. Being under radio silence, I did not talk to any of my flight when I landed to find out through a classified radio, one of five or six that existed in the world at the time, what the weather was at Desert One. That concerned me greatly. When I got that report,
go ahead, sir.
It was actually what the forecast was, so we proceeded on. So we lost number five in the TAWS. He flew back to the Nimitz. We landed at Desert One. When I looked at the ground, I said, between myself and my wingman, we have six, and that was a criteria to go. We were still on the go. When my wingman reported to me that he had lost the hydraulic system, I frankly told him he wasn't going anywhere, and that was something that had been briefed to General Watt back in December. So I don't get overly concerned, but I think when you see those things happen, and I think fortunately, when the president stuck by the mission criteria, he made absolutely a right decision. And there was no doubt on that night that he was definitely in charge.
That was Marine Colonel Ed Seifert. The name of the documentary is Desert One.